Mick, we're back. Do you want the good news or the bad news? Because for the second straight recruiting show, we've got good news, we've got bad news. Mick Walker, how are you? And answer the question, Mick. Do you want the good news or the bad news?
I'm doing great, Spencer, but you know my philosophy. I always like to start with the bad news and we can work towards the good news.
Okay, so we'll go bad news, then good news, then we'll just ask the question, what are they going to do with defensive end? Because we have to ask that question. I'm Spencer Holbrook, of course. That's Mick Walker on the other side of the screen. I'm back from vacation. A great time was had by all. I'm rested. I'm recovered, ready to get back at it. Austin Ward is now with Letterman Row. Go to lettermanrow.com right now. $1 for your first week. Get all of Austin's coverage, as well as my coverage, as well as Mick's coverage, as well as Alex Gleitman's coverage. Oh, by the way, we're going to have somebody join the staff in just a little bit. Mystery name. We'll see who it is. But again, that's Mick. I'm just Spencer. Let's go with the bad news, Mick. Carter Meadows, four-star, borderline five-star defensive end prospect. True edge rusher, 6'5", 230 pounds. Ideal for any system that you put him in. Seems like a really, really good player. No, we're not just going to sugarcoat it because he picked that team up north. Commits to Michigan, and Ohio State misses out on a defensive line recruit yet again. The Wolverines won the NIL battle. The Wolverines had a good relationship there. You name it. I think they kind of just outdid Ohio State here, to be honest. Whether no, no matter where, how you cut it, Ohio State did a good job, I thought, with Carter Meadows. I think Michigan did a really good job pitching him. Ohio State did a good job with NIL with him. Michigan just topped it, and so now the Wolverines have Carter Meadows committed in the class on Ohio State. Well, simply put, does not. So, Mick, what's the skinny there? What do you know?
Yeah, if you really want to go far side bad news, it is what are they going to do at defensive end? Because with now Carter Meadows off the board, Luke Whipple off the board earlier this month, the board is looking bleak. Landon Barnes also committed to Ole Miss at the end of June on June 30th. So that's three guys that they brought in for official visits that are now off to other schools. That leaves you with, I believe, one other official visitor in KJ Ford, who's Landon Barnes' teammate down in Duncanville, Texas. Like, that's the only other guy that's left on the board. And that's the scary thing if you're an Ohio State fan that saw him sign two edge rushers last cycle, one in the previous cycle before that. Like, this edge recruiting has not been good enough recently, whether that be NIL dollars, whether that be a Larry Johnson factor, whether that be a Ross Bjork philosophy belief thing. We can go on and on about the different layers. Everybody deserves a little bit of blame in their cup today. But yeah, it's not looking great for Ohio State defensive end because those top guys are off the board. And like you said with Carter Meadows, I do agree that Michigan probably did the better job of recruiting him. And I think they obviously, by the end of this, probably put the better NIL offer. Not saying that that's make or break, because I imagine, like I said, they had a good relationship, a long-standing relationship. He has two teammates at the school, but at the end of the day, I think the guy that Ohio State really wanted was Luke Whipple, and then now he's off to USC. The Trojans came in, put that big number on the table, and now he's committed. He's headed to LA. So when you have your top guy off the board, the guy that you wanted to go kind of circle back on, or that was number 1B or two, when Carter Meadows also jumps off the board, you don't have a lot of guys to swing at except for KJ Ford now.
Yeah, you kind of said it best there. Luke Whipple comes off the board. Steve Wolfong from Rivals reported that, man, that's so weird to say, but welcome to the merger, Mick. Steve Wolfong of Rivals and On3, no, just Rivals, I think, said Luke Whipple was the number one prospect on Ohio State's board, regardless of position. Okay, so whether Ohio State feels that way, you can probably assume they do because they thought they needed a guy like that in their class. Once he commits to USC, it was kind of a surprise because Ohio State thought that he was in the class. Well, quite frankly, he was in the class. He was committed to Ohio State silently and then committed to USC on an NIL package because the Trojans outdid the Buckeyes in that regard. I think Ohio State truly did a good job recruiting him. And I think that is purely NIL. Well, then everyone knows you're bored by then when Luke Whipple was your number one prospect. So then you have to circle back on Carter Meadows, who was probably your number two prospect, and make him your number one. Well, he was Michigan's number one all along. And so Michigan did a great job recruiting him. Oh, by the way, the Wolverines also offered him more money than Ohio State did. So that's kind of a double whammy there. And now he's committed to Michigan. And then, like you said, Landon Barnes, right?
Later
Commits
on.
to, yeah, Landon Barnes commits to Ole Miss, and he's probably your number three. You brought him in for an official visit. Oh, man. What do you do now? Because if you had Luke Whipple and just Kari Wilder, you're probably feeling pretty good at with two edge rushers in this class. But if you have Kari Wilder and then 2 3-star guys, because that's probably the best you're going to do unless you're going to go out and take the rubber bands off the cash and start throwing it around to somebody, that's probably the best you're going to do is Kari Wilder and 2 3-star guys now, lower guys that you're just going to have to develop. Even I would take the 2 top-end guys over 3 other guys, because I think Kari Wilder has a chance to become a 5-star prospect with the way he's kind of skyrocketing up boards this summer. So that's not to say Ohio State's not doing anything in defensive end recruiting. I want to make that clear. Kari Wilder is a very good player. I think he just won some MVP honors at a camp that everyone was at. I think he's going to be rising up the recruiting rankings pretty drastically the next time they come out. But man, something's not right here. And whether that's the NIL dollars, which we know Ohio State's not offering the biggest NIL packages because they want to pay the veterans more than they want to pay the guys who haven't played a snap here yet. Whether that's not front-loading NIL contracts like other programs are, I'm just going to let you guys in on a little secret. The new structure of college football kicked in today, July 1st. It's not a coincidence that all these 4 and 5-star guys committed the last week of June instead of the first week of July. Like, it's just not a coincidence. Ohio State didn't play that game. Whether that's a right or wrong approach, I think it's probably the right approach in the long term, but in the short term, man, you're kind of just getting kicked in the you-know-what multiple times in a row here on the recruiting trail. It doesn't look good right now. And I don't mean to be long-winded here, Mick, but it's not just a Carter Meadows and Luke Waifel issue. Now we've got 3 years of sample size with the 2023 class, Keon Keeley, Damon Wilson, Mateo Uiagalelei. 2024 cycle, you got Dylan Stewart, Marquise Lightfoot, Amaris Williams. They almost get him in the last second. Didn't they end up holding on to Edrick Houston, which is kind of holding all of this together single-handedly. Last year, I thought that it was a better class with Zion Grady, who I think Ohio State's really excited about, and Epi Sitanile. But you missed out on Chas Coleman because you offered him too late. London Merritt flips because of NIL. Jakeem Stewart, you don't even go after, basically, because it became an NIL battle. Zahir Mathis miscalculated himself, thought he could get more money, ended up taking less money and going somewhere else. Like, it just doesn't look right. And something's got to be done, or else Ohio State is going to be lacking at defensive end, which is a crazy thing that I never thought we would say after seeing – the Bosas and Chase Young and even a guy like Tyreek Smith and even a guy like Zach Harrison and even Jack Sawyer and JT Tuimoloa, like the lineage here, it's not being met right now. And I think they could be good this year at defensive end, but I don't think, you know, the standard is the standard at Ohio State, and on the recruiting trail right now, defensive end, that standard is just not being upheld, in my opinion.
Not at all. And 2 quick points here. First one being that you and I kind of wrote about, talked about, said everything we could about the Luke Waifel recruitment in the moment. But the bigger thing it did, obviously, is if we say Ohio State was willing to give Luke Waifel $5, and that's what he committed Ohio State getting was $5, then USC comes in and says, we're going to give you $7. Well, now Michigan, when you turn to this Carter Meadows recruitment, knows that Ohio State's only going to go $5, maybe $6, but they're going to go $5 because that's the number they were going to give their top guy to begin with. So not only did it unravel this whole NIL side of things, unravel in the Luke Waifel recruitment, it then dominoed effect into the Carter Meadows recruitment because now everybody knows what your number is. So that messed everything up to another degree. The scarier thing, if you really want to go doomsday about all this defensive end recruiting, which I think we can, which we can't, whatever we want to do there. But last summer, like you said, Epi Sitanile is a late flip from UCLA that they got, and I believe, in December on National Signing Day. He camped at Ohio State last summer, and it was like, oh, if we keep this guy in the back of the head, if they need to circle back on some guys, this is who they'll go after. This summer, it was really Malachi Irvin, who had a Pickerington North, who's now committed to Buffalo. He's a 3-star kid. He camped in Columbus. Looked good, not great. I don't think he looked on par with Epi Sitanile, and he doesn't play that kind of competition that'd be played in the Trinity League. As much as I love the OCC and what Pickerington North does, it's not that same level of competition. The number of guys that we could see them turning to just aren't there right now, or the list of guys that we could see them turning to aren't really there because we didn't see that many 2025 edges at camp this summer. Matter of fact, or 2026 edges at camp this summer, my apologies. Matter of fact, we probably saw more 2026 interior guys camp trying to get an offer, which is interesting and kind of vaults us into this next point because that's not a concern at all.
Well, here's the thing, Mick. I like what they're doing on the interior. They moved Edrick Houston inside. Caden McDonald was a guy who they said for the entire cycle when they had him in the 2023 cycle, I think, or 2020, whatever cycle it was, This is an underrated guy. He's going to be a star. He was great as a true freshman. When they put him in last year, he was really good at, in that goal line package. He's going to be a run stuffer this year at nose tackle. You go through. Have they panned out exactly how you hope they would? No. But Jason Moore was a top 60 overall player in the country in his class. Dominic Kirks, a top 200 player who I think still could be a three tech. I don't really think he's as much of an edge. Maybe he could pan out into an edge. Eric Mensah is a three-star swing that you take. Will Smith Jr., a top 300 player that you take for sure. I like what they did. They got Jarquez Carter. They got Maxwell Roy. Trajan Odom's another three-star swing that you take with a guy. Then this year, which is, I guess, the good news of what we're talking about, but, I mean, it's hard to follow what we're talking about with good news. This weekend, they land two more interior defensive linemen, and one of them is one of the biggest fish in the entire pond for Ohio State this cycle. They land Damari Simeon from St. Augustine Prep in New Jersey. Like, he is one of their top-of-the-board defensive tackle prospects, and they get him in the class. Cam Brickle, a guy who's moved around a lot during his high school career, probably has been misevaluated because he's just moved so much. He's going to play at IMG Academy this year, and they've loved him from the start of this class. They've got him in the class now. So this weekend alone, you got two defensive tackles who they're really excited about, who are at the top of their board. The defensive tackle recruiting, in a weird twist, has become the strength of what Larry Johnson's doing. And I don't know if it's because it's a less glorified position when it comes to NIL dollars, or which I think is a big part of it, or if it's just the fact that defensive tackles are a different breed than defensive ends and edge rushers. But they're doing well on the interior. I'm excited about the interior of this defensive line, even though this year you might say, well, they're not deep enough right now. Well, that's more of a development issue than it is a talent issue, because the recruiting services all say that these guys are ridiculously talented. Whether they pan out is on them. It's on the coaching staff. It's on the strength staff. It's on the nutrition staff, you know, like all those factors. They're doing well recruiting on the defensive interior. The problem is the edge, and I think that's alarming. You know, Ohio State, as much as I like Logan George and as much as I've heard great things about Bo Atkinson, should not have to go out and get two transfer portal defensive ends. It just shouldn't happen. And they had to this year. And the way that this is trending, they're definitely going to have to dip into the portal again next year for edges.
Yeah, and the biggest thing in recruiting, obviously, is you want quality guys. You want the five-star guys. You want the Chris Henry Juniors, the Blaine Bradfords, which Ohio State has in this 2026 class that kind of headline the group. But it's also nice to get quantity. Like, Ohio State has four wide receivers committed. They want to get a fifth. They have two safeties committed, two cornerbacks committed. They're looking kind of to build those boards out. You now have four offensive linemen committed after getting Aaron Thomas last week, who we can kind of touch on at the end of this episode when we talk about more good news. So, like, you're getting quality and quantity there with Sam Greer kind of being the headliner, who, again, with Kari Water tore up the Rivals five-star challenge. Ohio State's going to get that quality and quantity at defensive tackle with Damari Simeon being the headliner guy, Cam Brickle being the guy, like you said, hey, 300-pounder guy, 6'2", let's take him, let's put him in the middle, see how he develops. They're also very much in it and probably will likely at some point this month flip three-star defensive tackle Jameer Perez, who's from Cleveland Glenville, flip him from the Florida Gators at some point. He's 6'4", 350, 340, whatever it is. So, like, you're talking about two really big developmental bodies in the middle, which is what they did last year with Trajan Odom and Maxwell Roy. Like, they've clearly said, we want to get bigger on the interior. They went out, got the number of bodies, got the big bodies. But at defensive end, I think it's why we applauded last cycle, even though Epi Satanale was not the highest-ranked guy in the class. It was, hey, at least they had a plan to go make sure they got their number. Right now, it's hard to see them getting their number. 2 years ago, they did not get their number, and they actually probably even went negative on the number when you consider that Edric Houston has already moved inside a defensive tackle, and they have no defensive ends that cycle. So it's a quality and a quantity issue. Like, I think Kari Wilder is great, but if that's the only guy you get, then you have a quantity issue on top of having a quality issue, because you don't have multiple highly ranked guys, which is what they need. Like, I think on the list of priorities, and I think Spencer can attest to this as well, on the list of priorities for Ohio State this cycle was to get a five-star, like an elite edge prospect. And they're right now it does not appear that they're going to do that.
And, you know, I think one of the other problems with this whole operation is Ohio is not developing top defensive end prospects. The Midwest has some, but not at the rate that you would kind of hope that they do. I remember there was a time way back in like 2023 when we thought like Cam Thomas was going to be like a five-star prospect in this class. There was a time way back when Brennan Vernon was a five-star prospect in this in his respective class. He ends up going to Notre Dame. He wasn't really an Ohio State type. We talked about that all the way back when it was Berman and I talking about this stuff years ago. There's guys who are talented, like Malachi Irvin, like you said, from Pick North, a good player. And I don't want to take anything away from him in this conversation, a good player. But Ohio State's not just going to take that guy just to take him to get to their number if he's not Ohio State quality. And they have to decide based on senior tape now if he's going to be Ohio State quality. But I almost liken it too. And, you know, look at me. I'm not the skinniest guy in the world. You go to the refrigerator, you look in the refrigerator for a snack. Nothing really, hitting the taste buds the correct way. You take a lap around the house, go back, sit on the couch. 10 minutes later, you open that refrigerator. That fruit bowl that's sitting there that you didn't think sounded appetizing looks a lot better the second go around when you look in there than it did the first time when you were looking for like a chocolate bar or something. So like the standards just get lower every time you look. You can't lower the standards if you're Ohio State. They've been saying it for decades. The standard is the standard. But you have to have bodies on the edge. And I don't know where these guys are coming from, because I think the stat is that 40 of the top 50 defensive ends in the country are committed to schools right now, and Ohio State's only in on one of the uncommitted guys, and it's the kid from Duncanville, Ford. So what are they to do if they don't – if that's a no, and right now I think it's an uphill battle for them, if that is a no – It's alarming, Mick, and this doesn't – I don't mean to make this entirely doom and gloom, because real quick we're going to get – we've already been doing this for almost 20 minutes, but I mean, Cam Brickell's a great player that Ohio State's really excited about. Damari Simeon is, again, a top-of-the-board three-tech that they are very excited about. But that all gets overshadowed on the trail when – you know, negativity always overshadows positivity on the recruiting trail. It just does. That's just the nature of the beast. And this June has not been great for Ohio State on the recruiting trail when it comes to the defensive line, even if they landed two of their top-of-the-board defensive tackles. It's just the facts of the matter.
Yeah, and like you said, we've already gone 20 minutes. We've done the doom and gloom. I don't think there's much left we can say. We'll take these next 5 minutes or so and really just give our best thoughts on these commitments. Three of them last week, starting with Damari Simeon. He's the highest-ranked guy, top 65 guy by on three in the 2026 class, by Rivals in the 2026 class. I believe in the Rivals 300 is what he's going to end up being at. So he's somebody, like you said, Ohio State loves, 6'2", 275 pounds. He's a three tech right now. He great hand usage, knows how to get in and out of the backfield, really reads the quarterback well. Like, he does everything that Ohio State wants in the three tech. And I wish we could have celebrated him more last week because of everything that was going on, but he is a tremendous add to this class and somebody and something that Ohio State desperately needed to land this cycle.
Yeah. I'm impressed with what they're doing on the interior to try to restock that room. And again, like, I don't think you can point to recruiting classes as the reason that defensive tackle depth is bad right now. It's the fact that they haven't gotten enough out of the guys that they did recruit, which you can point to the player, you can point to the development. Either way, just because they haven't gotten that out of them doesn't mean that they didn't do a good job recruiting that. I think defensive tackle has been a bright spot for Larry Johnson compared to defensive end the last couple cycles. So, you know, there's a lot to like here with Damari Simeon and with Cam Brickell. Flip on the tape. Like, by God, like, there's a lot to like. There's a lot to like with the potential of Jameer Perez, right? But there's a lot there right now. There's just a lot out there of picks X school over Ohio State right now going on social media. And it's hard to ignore all of that. But again, like you said, three commits in the past week, you can't just like bury those with sand, shovel over it. You got to be excited about these guys. And they're giving you reasons to be excited. It's just not at the positions you want, to be honest. And I guess that's where we are. Which of these guys, Mick, before we get out of here, which of these guys, Brickell or Simeon, do you think – could have like the bigger instant impact? Because that's where I look at it. Like, you know, I think three tech is in good hands in Simeon's year one, even though I think he's probably a little bit better of a player than Brickell because Edric Houston will be around. But, you know, it's harder to play defensive nose tackle as a true freshman. So which one of these guys do you see, Simeon or Brickell being able to come in and maybe make an impact. We've seen defensive tackles make an impact before on this team as a true freshman. Look at Tyler Williams, Edrick, and Kaden McDonald, all three.
Yeah, I'd have to say Damari Simeon, just because, like I said, I think what he does and how he wins is very translatable. He wins with good hand usage and kind of a quick get-off. Like, he has very obvious things that he wins with, and that should help him get on the field earlier. But, again, I think if you ask Cam Brickell to come in and do a very similar role to what you said with Kaden McDonald, where you're just going to be at one technique, you're going to be on the nose or whatever you're going to be, you're in the middle of that defensive line, and your job is just to stun that center, that stun that guard, and just sit in that gap and make sure nobody gets through you. Cam Brickell's probably going to be able to do that in a relatively short manner at Ohio State.
That's exciting. I mean, get excited, guys. Those guys are two guys.
We haven't even talked about Aaron Thomas, and I know Spencer's a big offensive lineman, but like beating Texas A&M to get a 6'6" tackle to be your second tackle in this class, along with Sam Greer, like that's a big win. But just because what we had to run right into the end of that week, it didn't get talked about enough. But that's a huge win for Tyler Bowen. Now you get four offensive line commits. You can maybe push to 5 or 6. With Deron Parks, JB Servaz, Felix Ojo is going to commit on July 4th. I don't think that's going to be Ohio State, but I know the Buckeyes are still swinging there. Like, offensive line is doing well. Really, it's just that edge spot that if you look at this class and you go, oh, man, we're not doing too hot.
Well, and hey, I'll tell you this, Nick. Last little nugget here. Sam Greer just finished as one of the top 10 players at the Rivals camp last week, right? I mean, he really impressed there. On3 has him as the 96th best player in the country, a 92 overall. The friends over at Rivals, who have now joined forces with the folks at On3, have him as the 43rd best player in America and the number 5 offensive tackle. Rivals was extremely high on him. That brain trust is now going to be working on the rankings at On3. So you could see the ranking for Sam Greer shoot through the roof. And then you're talking about him being a borderline 5-star guy to go along with Aaron Thomas, who's a 3-star guy that I think probably deserves a 4th star, and we'll get that by the time the cycle's all said and done. And then you also have Tucker Smith, also from out there in Arizona, who's, the developmental prospect that you like having in this class. The tackles look good, both defensive and offensive. You got good tackles right now. You got good momentum on the recruiting trail. It's just defensive end that we keep harping on, but it's worth talking about. Because that's what we do here. We talk about the good, the bad, the ugly. That's what we do, Mick.
What we do, and I think there will be good news before this weekend. July 3rd, Luke Fahey, the 4-star quarterback out of Mission Viejo, California. He's going to commit. I think Ohio State is the odds-on favorite. I believe multiple people at Rivals and On3 they're On3 RPM picks, so we'll stick with that for right now. I think people have predictions in for Ohio State to land Luke Fahey, and that would be good news on July 3rd. Bump Ohio State up to 20 commits in the class. Give them their quarterback and somebody that they really like after getting on campus for the official visit. So while it's doom and while it's gloom, there's still opportunities to come. Like we said, you get Luke Fahey on July 3rd. You still go push for Jameer Perez. Maybe Deron Parks or JB Shabazz wants to make a decision on the offensive line. Maybe you can make a late push for KJ Ford and get him in this class. Like, July is not over. Your guy, 5-star safety, Braylon Womack, will commit in August. Like, we still have some recruiting momentum to kind of build up here in these next couple months. Ohio State's not done. And obviously, then we will get into the season. We'll have flip season. We'll have all this interesting stuff to follow. So recruiting won't stop, but I do understand right now what people are frustrated with, what kind of the recent results.
And I'm just telling you, all these guys committed before the July 1st date because they wanted to front load those contracts. Some of those contracts will not get paid out. I'm just telling you, okay? Look, that's just the way it is. There's still a lot of moving parts with the money part of all this, and I think there's going to be a wild flip season in store. So we'll see what happens. I think Ohio State will still finish with the top 5 class. Right now, they have the number 5 class in America. It doesn't include Carter Meadows. It doesn't include Luke Wafel. You would obviously love if it did, but it doesn't. So now we'll move forward, and the next show might be a little more positive. From Mick Walker, from Spencer Holbrook. Let's talk about this again soon, Mick. Let's try to do it on a little bit more of a positive note. For now, we're going to get over to LettermanRow.com with our good buddy, new coworker Austin Ward, our longtime coworker Alex Gleitman. Mixed coverage, my coverage, all over at LettermanRow.com. It's a big week for On3 and Rivals. Come join the fun over at LettermanRow.com for $1 just for 7 days. That's $1 for your first 7 days. We'll see you guys over there at LettermanRow.com.